86 degrees in downtown Denver. Good evening, Colorado. The 28th of September. It's a Thursday. Staffan Tubbs, Jim Nichols at the controls, Lori Kelman in the newsroom. Man, some really great texts coming in. Welcome. If you're just tuning in, appreciate your time as always. We begin hour number two talking about a bunch of things. I'm going to preview this hour as quickly as I can. We will continue our conversation on what California Governor Gavin Newsom did earlier today in Los Angeles. We talked about him yesterday with what he did earlier this week with the brand new, beautiful, shiny excise tax on ammo and weapons in California. But today is almost, it's equally as sickening to me. Coming up after what he did, he put pen to paper today, surrounded by hundreds of union workers in Los Angeles. He signed into law a bill that means that starting April 1st of 2024, the minimum wage for a fast food worker in California is $20 an hour. $20 an hour. That is not raising the state's minimum wage. That is the fast food industry. You want to talk about a powerful lobby? You want to talk about powerful unions? Maybe the voices rising as one, the workers? But $20 an hour? Meanwhile, California's regular minimum wage, $15.50. One of the reasons why, and there is a method to my madness over the years of bringing up California stories, it's not because that's my native home state. It's because what happens there so often, right, friends, happens right here in Colorado. $20 an hour minimum starting April 1st, 2024. You think those fast food places, you think the mom and pop, quote unquote, fast food places, if you will, do you think they're just going to eat that price? No pun intended. Do you think that they're just going to suck it up? No, they're not. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. My business partner, our executive producer of our fentanyl film from Mountain Time Media, Jim Fasone, will join us. We're going to unveil. I don't expect, you know, you to go, oh, my God, that's just great. But I want to unveil the title of our upcoming documentary film on fentanyl's deadly impact on Colorado. The film will come out in May of next year, and we'll unveil that. And then at the bottom of the hour, she is going to be in it. We met Kim Saturday, this past Saturday, literally in front of the White House. We interviewed her for this film, literally on Pennsylvania Avenue. So Kim, who lost her son 2 years ago, she lost her son Max. He was only 18. And this is a little bit different from other parents we've had on in the past. Kim knows the individual. By the way, so does the district attorney's office. So do authorities. She knows the individual who sold her son the fentanyl-laced Percocet, which was not Percocet. It was something that was made more than likely in a lab in Mexico. But where? What's the status of that case? We'll have Kim coming on. And the parents that have joined us over the years that have lost children, I have no words to say how much I respect them and how brave that they are. So we'll talk about that. Randy Corcoran will join us a post game on last night's second Republican presidential debate.
For 7 years, I ran the fifth largest office in this country at the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey, and we set records for the number of prosecutions that we brought that still have not been broken. And the reason was that we went after the crime that was affecting people's lives. And as president, I will appoint an attorney general and instruct that attorney general that you are to put all the resources that are necessary to bring our cities back under control. The fact is, they will be stretched. There's no doubt about that, but that's what they take the job for, because they love the idea of enforcing the law. We've got to bring law and order back to this country, and not just in our cities, But we need the law and order back everywhere. We need law and order back in our suburbs. People are threatened there. We need it in our rural areas. People feel threatened there. And we need it in Washington, D.C. also. And Donald Trump should be here to answer for that, but he's not. And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching. Okay? And you're not here tonight. Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
Let's see what our studio audience thinks of that duck.
You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
No, that they didn't even do that. That was totally fake. Really, Christie? Chris Christie has as much of a chance of becoming president as I do. Translation, he ain't going to be president of the United States. However, it's interesting. Quack, quack. Can't get into the weeds now because this hour is basically full, but I do just want to throw something out that may piss some of you off. I actually wholeheartedly agree with not only Chris Christie, and I don't know if I've ever said that in my life, but many of the other seven that were up there last night. Donald Trump should be there. And I agree with Chris Christie. Don't give me the polls, he's just so far ahead. Be there, answer questions. Donald Trump should take part in these debates, and he's not. Why? Because he just doesn't want to be part of this establishment, and he's Donald Trump? Sorry, no one's above the law. No one's above this country. No one is above this process. If you've got such a commanding lead and all is great and you are you're creaming them, you're smearing them right now, show up. Show up. And then there's reality as well. All seven saying that he should be there. All seven of them really are glad that they don't have to come under the wrath of Donald Trump on stage. In this case, last night, Simi Valley at the Reagan Library. Before we switch gears and talk fentanyl the rest of, the most of this hour, because it is so damn important. The impeachment proceedings, House Oversight Committee earlier today.
What a gift. What a gift. And I get to pull this out.
Jim, that is not the right cut there. We'll talk about that in a minute. Impeachment, please.
We're 62 hours away from shutting down the government of the United States of America, and Republicans are launching an impeachment drive based on a long debunked and discredited lie.
I don't know about you. I don't like that guy. He's a greasy worm. Representative, Democrat from Maryland, Representative Jamie Raskin. Remember him from the Trump impeachments.
If the Republicans had a smoking gun, or even a dripping water pistol, they would be presenting it today, but they've got nothing on Joe Biden.
So what does that actually mean then? Does that mean that you actually approve of all the crap and the big guy and the 10% and the money being wired from China and all of that? Like, there's no issue here, Mr. Raskin, with the president's son, Hunter? There's just no issue here? I mean, you're supposedly an intelligent man. I don't know if I believe you in what you say. That quote was, by the way, if the Republicans had a smoking gun or even a dripping water pistol, they would be presenting it today, but they've got nothing on Joe Biden. I will give Jamie Raskin this. A lot of Republicans said the same exact thing during not one, but two impeachment inquiries and hearings for President Donald Trump. Multiple ways to get in touch with us, 303-696-1971. Thank you to the texts that have come in. As time allows, I want to get to them. Excellent texts coming in today, as always, but especially when it comes to this California minimum wage for fast food, etc. We'll get into that via the app or the website. You can access, of course, live stream. So welcome to our potential live stream global audience. We are on social media at Tubbs Show, T-U-B-B-S Show, Facebook and Twitter. And as of today, after today's show, 25 more programs to go in this time slot, 4 to 7. As we continue, I've told you one of the reasons why I feel like it's a God calling, telling me I've read the tea leaves for the last 6 months. I've contemplated, am I really going to leave a career that I absolutely love and I'm so appreciative of? I will miss every day that I don't do it, at least for the interim after November 3rd. But we have been for the last couple of months, as I've told you, I'm not trying to bore you, but we are doing what I feel is going to be the most important project that I have ever been involved with, and that is our documentary film that will be released coming up next year on fentanyl's deadly, horrible, horrific impact just on Colorado. And so I would say we're well more than halfway done with the filming. We've been multiple parts of the state. And we'll welcome on my business partner, Jim Fasone, our friend of the program. I don't quite think this is the reason I'm having him on, is today being part of the farewell tour. Because, Jimmy, I'm going to have you on again coming up, you know, probably the final week of the program. But always great to have you on, my man. Thank you.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. You know, let me just ask you point blank. You and the crew and me, we were in Washington, D.C. last weekend for, during a tropical storm, Ophelia, and it was colder and wetter and windier than I think anybody expected. But there were still hundreds of parents out there as part of the Lost Voices of Fentanyl rally in D.C. What did you take away from that?
Well, it was incredible to see the support despite the conditions, and that just goes to show the resolve of parents that unexpectedly lost their child to a poisoning, something that many of them told us, along with the interviews we've done over the last couple of months, that they didn't even know what fentanyl was until they realized that's what their son or daughter died of.
Yeah. Did you notice, like I did, like there's just, and I hate the term, but I'll use it, like there is just a palpable anger. I mean, of course there's going to be sorrow. My God, how could there not? No matter if it was 3 months ago they lost a loved one, or 3 years ago, or 5 years ago. But there was definitely anger there as well. I wonder if you picked up on that.
No, absolutely. And I think what there is there's a growing amount of information that's increasing, you know, the average citizen out there on why the streets are so bad, why this drug is taking over cities. And it all has to do with an administration that has basically opened the door to let bad people do things to good citizens. It's horrific.
Well, I'm not going to make this a, you know, drum roll and bells and whistles, but, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is in our next segment, we're going to have Kim Osterman on, and we met her, I was saying earlier in the program, we literally meet her, Jim, outside the White House. She flies from Colorado to Washington, D.C., alone.
By herself.
By herself. Okay. She doesn't have a friend with her. I'm not saying she couldn't have had a friend come with her. I'm sure she could have, but she makes this mother's journey. She lost her 18-year-old son, Max, 2 years ago. And the thing that makes Kim's story just so among the sorrow is also this infuriating fact that Kim knows the individual who sold her son the drug that killed him, and poisoned him to death. And that was supposed to be, you know, off-market Percocet, and it wasn't. But Kim is in the film, and the reason I wanted you on is because she's in our next segment, but I just wanted to unveil our title. And the title is as follows: Devastated, Colorado's Fentanyl Disaster. And I don't know, it's not a lot of words, Jim, but I mean, I've tried to encompass what we're doing in 1, 2, 3, 4 words.
Well, that's exactly it. It focuses on the damage that's been done to the state, which in part has been allowed by the people who lead this state, which is also contributed by, in large part, an open border policy. And as I mentioned just a minute ago, the sad part is that people are just now realizing how politics, whether you're left or right or middle or far left or right, it doesn't matter. Those decisions impact everyday people's lives. And we're now seeing people are dying 100,000 plus a year because these drugs are manufactured in China and are put together in Mexico, and they're just coming across the border right into your neighbor's home.
I don't know if you know this, but you know, we did this film called Denver in Decay, and that was something. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it got a little bit of attention, but I bring Denver in Decay up, and again, Jim Fassone, the executive producer of our film, Devastated, Colorado's Fentanyl Disaster. It comes out May of 2024, and we've got Kim coming up in our next segment. You know, I bring up Denver in Decay because if there's anyone, you know, you kind of told me, I kind of wanted to do it, and it was a beautiful marriage of I'm staying away from the comments that are coming in over the last 3 years on Denver in Decay. We had many, many of them, thousands of comments, hundreds of them praising us, hundreds of them criticizing us that it was such a politically slanted documentary. The one great thing is, I think even as we speak, we have yet to have anyone accuse the film of being inaccurate. And that's what we're going to do with Devastated. But I bring Denver in Decay up because we're going to be accused of having this be political, that this is politically slanted. I'd like you to maybe back me on this live on the air. We have most certainly reached out to Democrats, and yes, my political feelings are the way they are. I have reached across the aisle. Jim, if you wouldn't mind telling the audience how that is going so far.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of reaching out. There's been very little response because I think in part, was twofold, really. One is that they're concerned that they're going to be exposed. And the second part is that what are they going to say, right? I mean, the damage is done. Nothing's being done. They can't defend their position. And going back to Denver and Decay, which you brought up, you know, you can see that. Any of our audience listeners can see that on our Mountain Time Media YouTube channel. But going to the comments, which literally are in the thousands,
yeah,
95% of them are basically thanking us for exposing the truth and having people see what's really going on to a city that everyone loved at one point. Many have moved because of it. And as far as the political piece of this, you know, I go back to all roads lead to Rome. And the fact is, if you put out facts and information, and all of those facts and information lead to the same common denominator, it's not political. It's just information. And these laws or lack of laws or lack of enforcement are what's led to Denver's decay. And the same thing is what's happening to the fentanyl poisoning, not just in Colorado, but around the country.
Devastated, Colorado's Fentanyl Disaster is the title of our film. We're still in production and traveling around the state like we have. And I just, even though I won't have a program to promote it, say, you know, early next year, I'm going to take advantage of every radio and television person I know to get some free publicity. But already, it is. I know it's impacted you, Jim. It's impacted our crew. It's certainly impacted me. And the courage of these parents that have lost children to fentanyl poisoning, I know that sticks with you as well.
Well, absolutely. And it's not lost on either of us that when we were in D.C. for that entire eight-hour day last Saturday, there was not one news station represented, not one local, national, anyone commenting on this rally in its third year. That's pitiful.
Yep, it is. I love you, brother. I'll talk to you offline, and thank you as always.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Jim Fassone, executive producer of our film Devastated, comes out in May of 2024. We'll take a time out, and when we come back, I hope you send her some love. Send her some good karma. Send her grace. If you're a man or woman of faith, pray for her. Kim Osterman joins us. Her son, Max, forever 18. That comes up next on 710. Midway through the 5 o'clock hour, welcome. If you are just clicking on with us, thank you. In our first segment to my business partner, the executive producer of our upcoming fentanyl documentary film. I just unveiled the title. Its title is Devastated. And I don't know if I could have thought of a better, horrible, sad title, but thank you to Jim. I've just put out via Twitter, X, at Tub Show, a preview. We shot what's called in the business a stand-up, and it is, you'll see me at the Vietnam War Memorial, or the Wall, and announcing the upcoming project. May of 2024. I've shared several times on the program when we are there, and thanks to, you know, my incredible team. And we just got just fantastic, caring, sensitive, smart, intelligent, hardworking experts in putting documentary films together. And one of my crew at the base of the Washington Monument, they gathered this last Saturday for the third annual Lost Voices of Fentanyl. And again, I'm telling you, the wind and the rain, and it was chilly, and yet hundreds of people from across the country were there. And then they marched from the Washington Monument to the White House. And one of my crew, he saw a sign a woman was holding, a picture of a handsome 18-year-old young man. And it said, I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, I want to be accurate before we welcome on our guest. And I will tell you that I think it's a God thing. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. So we didn't have to just, I mean, and I know some of you would just say, that's a coincidence. But the sign carried by our guest, Kim, Max's life mattered. And among the sayings on this sign with his picture, and I believe it was his senior photo, Colorado failed me, exclamation point. And we were able to connect with Kim Osterman, and she joins us. She's from Thornton. And hi, friend. It is great to have you on. I know we've been planning this for almost a week, and I so appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to have met you, and I agree, definitely a God thing, absolutely.
You know what was also is come 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Reagan, and a full United Airlines flight leaving Reagan to fly to Denver International Airport, and I look up, and three rows ahead, I see a familiar face. It was you, and of all the rows, you know, more than 40 rows, you and I sat in the same row. That is a God thing to me as well.
Agreed. Yes, absolutely. I, as tragic as my loss has been, there's been so many, many blessings that have come of it. And I'm grateful for that. So grateful for, I know that God's been leading the way and put a lot of amazing people into my life since the loss of my son, Max.
Yeah. I want to remember Max. And sadly, you're not the first. You know, you're as important as anyone. Max is as important as any of the poisoned victims here in Colorado due to the fentanyl. But I want to also to start off with, I want to, as best you can, and obviously we're limited on time, but, you know, tell everybody about your son.
Ooh, Max. He just never stopped. The boy was born 2.5 weeks early, and he just never stopped from the minute he was born. He was always on the go. He was so intelligent. He was just the happiest baby, happiest little boy. And just to know Max was to love Max, and Max did not know a stranger. And he was, again, a very intelligent child. He was always on the honor roll, graduated with, I believe, a 4.2 GPA. He played varsity sports, varsity lacrosse, wrestling, and football. He loved life, and he had his whole life ahead of him. And Max didn't plan on dying. So he was supposed to start at Leeds Business School. And he had big plans for his future, and making one wrong decision, one bad decision, took his death, took his life, excuse me, caused his death, took his life.
Kim, let me ask you something, and I know it hurts, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, and I think hopefully you know I'm not. Was your son murdered?
Was he murdered? Absolutely.
Was he murdered?
Absolutely. This is not an overdose crisis. This is a poisoning of America crisis. This is China, Mexico, they know what they're doing. They're sending this illicit fentanyl into our country, And our country is they're not doing as much as they need to be doing about it. We need to secure our borders. Our borders need to be secured. It needs to be labeled a weapon of mass destruction. The cartels, they need to be designated as a foreign terrorist organization. There's no safe dose of illicit fentanyl, no safe dose. And you don't know what you're taking, and it's in everything. I've heard that people have purchased from dispensaries, gummies, dispensaries, edibles. It has illicit fentanyl in it. It's not safe. Drugs are not safe, as we know. And they're even less safe than they ever were before.
Yeah.
And I think it's a war again on America. Absolutely.
Kim Osterman is our guest. She's a mom from Thornton. She is Max's mom. Max died 2 years ago. And one of the things, Kim, that, I learned from you and your story, and, you know, kudos to Channel 4, unbeknownst to me until I met you and you told me, you know, earlier this year, Channel 4 did a story on you and your situation. I've watched that piece. And one of the things that makes you all are in this, you know, forgive me, sorority or fraternity or this club that none of you wanted to be a part of. None of you deserve to be a part of, but you're there. And the one thing that's a little different from your story than other parents that we've had on this program over the last couple of years is, you know, the individual who sold sold Max the fatal dose of what was supposed to be Percocet. As best you can summarize, it's just astonishing to me. And clearly that individual, we'd be leading with the fact that, and this person's now on death row, though there's no death penalty in Colorado. You know the individual, but man, it is an uphill battle to try to link your son's death with this individual. Take that wherever you'd like.
So he's had a record, well, beyond 2018, but 2018 since for his adult record. But he also had a juvenile record. This is all from my own work, my unpaid investigating as a mom. They have been doing controlled buys with him since 2018, North Metro Task Force, and I believe also Rocky Mountain Task Force. And he's been arrested several times. He continues to get probation, no jail time. They set him out. He continues to do the same thing. He gets another plea deal. So when my son passed in February of 21, the detective, he had a manslaughter, he had homicide, he had all variety of different charges as he was doing the investigation and there was an arrest warrant. Nothing ever happened with that. 2 years later, they closed the case. They said, we're not going to charge him for anything 2 years later. I said, not even distribution? Nope, not even they said that they couldn't confirm that what he took was from that dealer. But the witness, my son's girlfriend, said he only bought from one person. He only bought from this dealer.
And let me interject. Let me interject something. There's surveillance video. You've got texts and timestamps and locations via cell phones. I mean, seemingly there's enough there to do something. And I'm no lawyer. I know you're not either. But it just seems like from a common sense perspective, there's many things that would tie this individual to the sale of this quote unquote Percocet to your son, Max.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And enough so that they decided a year later to reopen his case, my son's case, Max's case, and charge the dealer with distribution. So clearly it was enough that they reopened with the same evidence. The evidence hasn't changed from the beginning. What did change was when they closed the case last June, during this whole time, he had been in the system. He had been arrested. My son died February 21. The dealer was arrested January 22 for drugs and 30 pills, again, which are known to have pressed pills and have fentanyl in them. They booked him and let him out. He didn't do any jail time, 44 and 30 pills in his pocket, booked him and sent him on his way. And he was in the system that whole time, from January to June. In that time, the Rocky Mountain Task Force had been tipped off that he was looking for a truck driver to transport multi-pound loads of narcotics from the southern border to Colorado. They were communicating with him from May, and then he was arrested November of 22. So while he was in the system from his January 22 arrest, they were investigating him and doing controlled buys, and he pled guilty to the charges for January 2022, and they gave him more probation when it should have been jail time.
It is maddening. Absolutely. Yeah. Sickening, disgusting, and maddening. And this is out of the 17th Judicial District?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So once he's been in jail since November 22, I continued communicating with 17th Judicial District. I communicated with the detective superior, who passed the information on to now Kristen Baker, who is under Brian Mason at the 17th Judicial District.
Yeah, Brian Mason is the district attorney.
Yes, and she reopened the case and is charging for distribution. There's still no, it should be distribution causing death, drug-induced homicide, whatever you want to call
but
it.
But, Kim, we don't do that in Colorado. Yeah, we don't do that in Colorado, do we? The state legislature wants to water down anything it gets. We don't do that here in Colorado. Meantime, you're doing your own detective work, and it's mind-boggling. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but please know that there are people listening to you right now that are as incensed as they can possibly be. No one can put themselves in your position, but from the outside, hearing this information, it's maddening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I made several attempts to communicate with Cole Finnegan, the federal prosecutor. Not even the courtesy of an email back. Nothing.
Kim, let me ask you, and we're going to take a real quick break here, and then we're going to have you through the top of the hour. But one of the things that I want, and which, you know, you sent me a lot of information, and I'm so thankful for that, and I've read everything. And one thing that jumps out, and I'm not going to steal your thunder because I want it from you. I want this from a mom's voice and perspective and you telling everyone. While this guy's in jail, something happens to his cellmate, and there's information of how many people perhaps this man has impacted, if you would.
Yes. Did you want me to share that now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Share it now, okay. And then we'll take a quick break.
Yes. His cellmate was overdosing on fentanyl a month after, while he was incarcerated, so in December of 22. The officer asked the dealer where he thought his cellmate got the drugs, the fentanyl. The dealer admitted that he was a fentanyl dealer before he was incarcerated or in jail, and that he was responsible for 4 overdose deaths. It's in a report. Now, he was never investigated for my son's death. He was named as a suspect, but they never questioned him because they never followed through with the charges. And to my knowledge, the one other boy that I'm aware of that we believe is also
a victim.
Thornton never did any investigating on that. They never took the phone. They never did anything. That was in May of 2019. So yeah, they
four.
And to my knowledge, because I've collected quite a bit of reports, he's never been questioned for any deaths. These are just people, customers that he lost.
Collateral
These are just
damage.
People that are These no are... longer buying drugs
yep,
from you.
Yep, it's just collateral damage. We're gonna put you on hold, Kim, and we'll be right back with you, our guest. This takes guts. This takes courage. And I know, friends, I'm preaching to the choir because I know you agree with me. the difference in other parents that we have. They're all in this collective group that I hope you pray for and you care about. But the difference in some of the past parents that we've had, Kim knows. And the fact that this guy admits that he knows the people he was dealing to, four of them are dead. Kim Osterman from Thornton, we remember her son, forever 18, Max. Stay with us on 710 KNUS. Welcome back to the program. About 10 minutes away from the top of the hour, we continue our conversation with Kim Osterman of Thornton. We remember her son, Max, forever 18. I met Kim last weekend at the Lost Voices of Fentanyl rally in Washington, D.C. And, you know, we could take 20 hours. I feel like I'd still be doing you and Max an injustice. But I truly am so in your debt for taking the time and, you know, sharing the story. I want to know, Kim, you went to Washington, D.C. alone, and I had said earlier, I'm going to take a gigantic leap of assumption here. You could have found anybody and a lot of people to go with you back there, but you went alone. What was that like for you to then be around so many other families in this country that have gone through exactly what you've gone through and are going through?
Well, I can tell you that I hadn't met one of them in person. There was about approximately, we estimate, 700 people there. I had not met any of them in person, and I felt like I was amongst family. I was standing at the coffee shop Saturday morning, hadn't met any of them, but I all knew they were there for the same reason, because they all had shirts, the dead speak, with names of their loved one. I felt like I was amongst family. Like, I feel, for the first time, I found my tribe, I found my people, they get me. They know my pain. Unfortunately, they know my pain.
You carried
the connection.
Yeah, you carried a sign that I just want to read to our friends listening. You know, a couple of the things on the sign. Max smiling, looking over kind of his right shoulder with long hair and a red shirt, and at the top, this sign you carried: Max's life mattered. And then the following around his picture: my country failed me. Colorado failed me. I loved my family. And then below, I am forever 18. I didn't want to die. My blood is on your hands. That from the sign that you carried in that march. What are we going to do? What can we do? What do you, you know, if you had the ear of the governor, the president, whomever, we've got representatives that represent supposedly you and me and Colorado in Washington, D.C. I don't see anybody in this state doing anything. I wish I could say I was wrong. I don't think I am.
I agree. I think you're right. I mean, the first rally in 2021 was about 100 people. We're up to 700 people. And that's just a drop in the bucket of how many members we have in Lost Voices of Fentanyl. There needs to be a paradigm shift in thinking with our judicial system, from the past protocol focusing on accidental to now classifying it and investigating these poisonings as homicides, drug-induced homicides. This is a poisoning of America. This is a poisoning of our children, where an entire generation is being wiped out. It's tragic. And no, there's not. The DEA, I know that they feel for us. They feel for our the families. They're doing as much as they can, but their hands are tied too.
Yeah.
We need to send a clear and unmistakable message to these drug dealers that if they choose to profit from the misery and suffering of others, the judicial system will pursue them, that they will be locked away. This is murder. Absolutely.
And that cannot happen if you are quote unquote soft or progressive on crime. And that does not have to be political. It's to me, it is fact. Kim, I want to wrap up with you. There is a possibility that somebody out there listening, and I don't mean this to sound harsh, but I hope it pains somebody from your answer coming up. And it would be this. Somebody's listening. They're flipping through the channels on the radio and they hear this woman. And gosh, that's so tragic. That's so sad. Really sucks for her and her family. But at least I know it'll never happen to my family. No one in this country, and you know it, friend, no one in this country is immune potentially to a fentanyl poisoning death. What do you say to those people that still aren't listening?
It can happen to you. It can and it will happen to someone that you know and love, someone that is close to you. It can and will. Everyone will know someone close to them that has lost a loved one. These children, infants, it's so terrible. It's 18 to 45. It's as young as 12. I believe in Colorado, as young as 12, mm-hmm. Never mind the toddler right. Got a hold of it mistakenly.
Right. We focus in on our film, Kim, that you're going to be in when we release it in May of next year. The film will start in Commerce City, Colorado. Commerce mm-hmm. City, Colorado, in February of 21 or 22. I can't remember. Forgive me. My mind 22? Is mush. Five people. Five people. In another room in this less than 1,000 square foot apartment that I stood outside the door of earlier this summer, you had an infant. You had five people, and Commerce City Police and one of the incredible members of the Commerce City Police Department who investigated this, sadly, no prosecution, said these people, these adults, quote, dropped dead from where they were standing.
Yeah.
Commerce City. Yeah. Commerce City. Yeah.
And no one was prosecuted. Just, you think that they don't have an idea of where the drugs came from?
Absolutely.
Just like they know where the drugs came from, Max. But this drug dealer is getting prosecuted 2 weeks from today for distribution to my son, but not for the death of my son. Yeah. I'm sure that they have an idea of where those drugs came from.
Exactly.
And they're probably out selling and killing more people.
Listen, friend, I love you. I respect you. I thank you for coming on. And now you're part of my tribe. So good luck trying to get out of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Stefan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Okay. Kim, we'll be in touch. Bye. Kim Osterman from Thornton. We remember you, Max. Forever 18. 6 o'clock hours next.